approach 5 o'clock here on a Thursday.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. All right, for the first time since April 6th, I'm going to give you the top five closer choices for the Yankees in October.
Oh, it's an updated list.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Jake Cousins.
Jake Cousins looks great, man.
What a pickoff move last night. And dare I say, probably for the first time in Jake Cousins' young life, he is better at his job than his cousin Kirk is at his.
I mean, right now he is.
You're right. Kirk looks stiff.
There's no denying that. And Jake has been, you know, Jake Cousins is one of those guys that happens every year. You just hope it's your team who comes out of absolute nowhere and becomes a good bullpen arm. Because that's how bullpen arms are.
Complete circle of trust. He comes out of that bullpen. If they chose to close him, trust it out, I love him.
To me, the Yankees have three relievers in their circle of trust. He's one of them.
Yep. Here we go.
Number four.
Tommy Kahnle.
He's also in the circle of trust.
Old, reliable. If you got to get the last three outs, I would trust Kahnle to get it done right now.
Dude, those are two good ones, and they're not 5 and 4.
Well, I got a good list here.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Nesta Cortez.
Oh, Nesta.
He's not close.
Now, hold on. I know it was a very elongated outing out of the pen. Still got those final three outs, and I got to be honest. He had a little oomph to him when getting those outs.
He got the last 17 outs.
I understand that. Part of the last 17 was getting the last three.
I exaggerated. It wasn't 17. You know, it was like 13 or 14.
Right. And he did damn well. Again, he's not number one on this list.
Nesta Cortez.
I mean, take over in the middle of a game and finish it?
Yeah.
It's kind of solid.
That can happen.
Look, of course.
How about this? I meant this. Out of all these guys, who do I trust the most to get a six-out save?
Well, that's a little bit different. Like, Nesta Cortez, and we'll get into this in a little bit, is clearly hallmarked, for the Yankee bullpen come postseason time. If he comes into a game in the sixth inning and is dominant, sure, he could keep going.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of baseball, but I don't know if I'd put him above Kahnle and Cousins in that quote-unquote closer role, but continue.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
It's Clark Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very reluctant to put him here, but I have to be real. The Yankees are not, with what they paid Carlos Rodon, and to a lesser extent, I know it's not a lot of money, Marcus Stroman, I don't think
so,
they're...
All right, so give me your four. Start
what I would do or what I think the Yankees are going to do?
What, both.
I would have Cole, Heel, Schmidt, Rodon.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to do Schmidt, but you can't move Heel.
So how does Stroman become the odd man out?
I think Stroman becomes the fourth guy if they need a fourth guy.
Got it.
And remember, Stroman already started at the beginning of the year. I don't trust Stroman out of the pen either because he's so reliable on like his tendencies.
All right, who's number one? Go ahead.
Number one.
It's Luke Weaver. And dare I say, if Luke Weaver is closing games, excuse me, Cleveland, he might be the best closer in baseball.
Well, let's not get crazy here.
That's
Manuel Clase is having a historic
Well,
season.
But the way Luke Weaver's got the energy, he's got the emotion.
First of all, here's what kind of bothers me.
So how was Clay Holmes used at all?
He's not. Did you watch last night?
He blew a save in the sixth inning.
It was the seventh inning. Comes in after Juan Soto has that awesome moment last night where he rope-a-dopes the Royals. Oh, no, my foot hurts. I fouled it off.
It probably did hurt.
Uh-huh. Two pitches later, he parked one.
That's all right.
You know what Aaron Boone...
Temporary pain. It's like stubbing your toe.
You know what Aaron Boone called that after the game?
What's that?
Rope-a-dope. Like, I'm borrowing... Well, we're all borrowing it from George Foreman and Muhammad Ali, but... Even Aaron Boone knows what was going on there. That was Juan Soto saying, I'm in pain. I'm not saying I'm not in pain.
Take it easy on me.
I'm going to sell it. You definitely did that at some times in the NFL. I'm hurt. And then meanwhile, next play, you ran it right down their throat.
But I'm sure.
Of course. That's what great athletes do. You're a great athlete. Soto's a great athlete. But last night, what was I about to say?
Clay Holmes. Why is Clay Holmes not in the top five?
Clay Holmes comes in. First thing he did is he gives up a ground ball base hit. Oh, it's a ground ball. It's Clay. He's so unlucky. Next batter rips a base hit. And it's like the same crap. Like, yeah, he didn't implode, but he gave up the lead. Clay Holmes is not only not the closer, he's not in the circle of trust.
No.
They have three relievers right now, as of this conversation, that I would say, I trust that guy in a big spot late in the game.
Right.
You've got Luke Amadreamweaver.
Yep.
You've got Tommy Kahnle, and you've got Jay Cousins. Now, Tim Hill,
I can't
trust
that.
I'm not going that far. Ian Hamilton is freshly back.
And which one do you prefer as closer?
I'm going to tell you why Sean is right. Do you have the audio of Luke, Lugie? Luke Weaver.
And what happened to Ian Hamilton?
He's still working his way back.
Yeah, so he's not back yet.
He hasn't done, well, he came back last night, but two nights ago, but he's not back.
He hasn't done enough to warrant being in his closer list.
I don't believe in a closer. I believe that you got to play the situations, play the lanes, as Aaron Boone likes to say. But if you're going to press me and say who should be the closer, Luke Weaver and any closer needs a personality. And you want to know why you need a personality? Not for my entertainment, not for your entertainment.
Yep.
Closing is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really tough gig. And so you kind of need to be weird to be a great closer. Luke Weaver is one of the most awesomely strange human beings I've ever heard. And I know what you're thinking. You're
what do
like,
you mean weird?
What do you mean?
Because was Edwin Diaz weird?
Edwin Diaz is different. Okay, Edwin Diaz.
Okay. Immediately, you have an exception to the rule.
The goalposts are always moving.
I'll go into a longer form conversation since you're pressing me on it, but I do want to get to Luke Weaver. Edwin Diaz learned how to close in New York because the first year he was here, he didn't know how to close in New York, and I think he learned. Okay, I've got to just let everything off my back. I can't let anything bother me. He added the theme music, which really helped turn him around, and he sort of changed his personality, and it worked. Okay. John Franco was a New Yorker. John Franco was like, yeah, whatever. I blew a save. I'm smiling at you. I'm pissed off, but I'm smiling at you. Mariano Rivera had one pitch no one could hit. Okay? So that's what that came down to. Luke Weaver, and I discovered this a few weeks ago, and I said, boy, this guy's different. I like this. Luke Weaver was asked a very innocent question by Meredith Marakovich. This was a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Take me through what it feels like when you come in big spot and get a big out. Okay, very, very nice question.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to listen to Luke Weaver's response to that baseball question and then tell me with a straight face, he's not amazing.
Yeah, I think it's a lot like when you see the ice cream truck and your parents say yes, and then you just kind of black out, and the next thing you know, there's none left in your cup or your cone, whatever you prefer. And I think then you kind of suffer the post side effects of a full belly and, you know, and baseball terms, I guess it would just be heavy breathing and maybe a little bit of a heavy heart rate. But, you know, it all settles down with time, and next thing you know, you're where you need to be, and you have a smile.
Tell me this guy doesn't have it.
Oh, he just described me at halftime as Sunday Night Football.
It's a great answer.
Great answer, huh?
It's a fantastic answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's your closer for the New York Yankees.
And unlike forcing it with Malik Nabers, two outs in the ninth,
Well, you know what? Does Luke Weaver remind you, based on the number he wears, based on his diminutive height, and even based on his windup, it's David Robertson.
Yeah.
He reminds me of, like, I'm looking at David Robertson.
I never trusted Robertson to close, though. I trust Weaver right now.
I think Luke Weaver right now, and he's done this all season long. Like, Jake Cousins is more, it's happened recently. Tommy Keenly was hurt for a while. Luke Weaver has kind of earned that trust all year. He hasn't been perfect. He's had his moments. But I kind of agree with you. Like, if you're telling me the season is on the line, the game's on the line, of the relievers they have now, I trust him the most. With that said, there's a much more complicated discussion that needs to occur. And I listened to Aaron Boone the other day, did an interview with John Boy Media, talking Yankees. And he was asked, hey, what's the plan for the rotation? And Aaron Boone, and you can tell me if he's lying or not, said, we're going to go six man, and then we'll drop to five. But I haven't even thought about who would come out of the rotation. I haven't even thought about who would join the bullpen. Now, there's no way he hasn't thought about it.
Yeah.
He's probably letting things play out. Let's see how guys pitch. Let's see if everybody's healthy. But remember, the Yankees have six starting pitchers, four of which you will use in the playoffs, sometimes only three. So you have two, maybe three starters that will become relievers. Okay? Now let's play the game. It's very simple. Nestor Cortez, we all agree, should move to the bullpen.
I think so.
And I think his perfect role is long man.
Yeah.
Guy gets in trouble. Stroman or Rodon gets beat up. Here comes Nestor Cortez. He can eat a bunch of big outs.
It's like you're restarting the game.
Yes. Yeah. And also, if you do need a big out, maybe you trust him. So I think Nestor's an easy one. But who is the other guy that goes to the bullpen? You said Clark Schmidt. He's made one start since he come back. He pitched great. They took him out. His pitch count was getting up there.
Right. But he pitched, what, 4 2/3?
But he's also pitched really well in the time that he has pitched. So is it Clark Schmidt? Is it Luis Gil, which is tough to do considering the way he...
I don't think it's Gil. The question becomes, what happens if it's Stroman? Meaning, what's Marcus Stroman's reaction?
I think Marcus Stroman's reaction is, I will do what it takes to help the team win.
I think you're
I have
right.
no reason to believe he's not going to do anything about that.
I agree. I just oddly trust him less in the bullpen, if that makes sense. He's been the one guy that's been vocal about his routine, his routine, his routine. How am I now going to expect him on a moment's notice to get up and get the big out?
So are you going to make a decision? Because I think the stereotype we have about Carlos Rodon, and Marcus Stroman is that, man, that wouldn't work in the bullpen.
Mm.
That is a legitimate thing. Everyone keeps saying, it won't work in the bullpen.
They feel like starters. I know what you're saying.
So does that mean you're going to choose potentially lesser options to start games because of your fear that they can't move to the bullpen? And you're going to move what may be a better option to the bullpen?
I think this is why Aaron Boone says he hasn't thought about it. So he's clearly thought about it. It just, he's not at that point where, if you ask him the question, you had to make the decision tomorrow, make it. He's not at that point yet where he knows exactly what he wants to do. And he's not going to talk about it until he knows exactly what he wants to do. So he just says, to throw you off, I haven't even thought about it.
Right.
It stops questions. But clearly he's thought about
it. I don't know if he's made the decision yet. Because
well, I mean, he's partly made the decision. He used Nestor Cortez in Clark Schmidt's previous last start to be the long reliever.
He's made one decision, and that's going to be Cortez. The second one's up for grabs. And I think, personally, it's up to Clark Schmidt, his next 2 to 3 starts, however many he gets, to make Boone make the decision impossible not to start him.
But Sean, that's my point. So Luis Gil has come back from the IL, and he's looked so good that you even said, not an option for the bullpen.
Nope, Cole and Gil are locked in.
Okay, so let's stop right there. So Luis Gil has already come back. Meanwhile, before he came back, it was easy for everyone to say, just move him to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until he reminded you how good he is as a starter.
Right.
So let's walk through Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt's made 12 starts this year, 11 before he got hurt. He pitched to a 2.3 ERA. I just need to remind everybody how awesome this guy was. A 2.3 ERA. That is significantly better than Carlos or Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's going to get to make another start tomorrow night against the Red Sox. Let's say he does what you just said. 6 scoreless innings. How could he not be in the rotation?
Yeah.
Which means now you're in the spot where you're taking a starter that you just said you don't even think can become a reliever, and you're going to move him to the bullpen and maybe not even use them in the high-leverage situations that they would likely want to use one of their relievers.
Well, they need to value. First of all, I feel like I'm talking to a wall. Remember the last 2 months when he was out and I kept telling you Clark Schmidt was the Yankees' third best starter? Oh, you can't say that. He's out right now.
Yeah,
now
we had that conversation.
I pounded it how many times?
And do you remember what I said back to you instead of calling
me
a brick wall?
Can we see him coming back first? And we've seen him come back.
Okay, so then where am I wrong?
My point is,
I said, let's see him come back.
This. Yankee fans knew this was going to be Clark Schmidt.
But hold on. I don't like to beat me up here. He came back, and he's pitched well.
He has.
All I said was, let him come back. He's come back.
So the Yankees need to determine what they value. Do they value, absolutely without a shadow of a doubt, pitching your third best starter as the third guy in or do they need that value in the pen? Because unfortunately, he will transition to the bullpen better than the other guys.
No, because he's done it.
Yeah.
I mean, Clark Schmidt back in 2022, I know he had that bad
moment.
And
in theory, by the way, he'd be your fourth best reliever when we're talking about the circle of trust and what is more important to the team.
I don't know if he's your fourth best reliever. I think if he's Clark Schmidt, you may look at him as your best reliever.
Well, we haven't seen him there until, at least this year, so you don't know.
In 2022, remember, he pitched a lot out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Actually blew a big game against
Cleveland in the
divisional series.
I think he learned a lot from that.
No, I'm not ripping him for that. I'm just merely saying he has experience with it, which is actually a good thing. It's not a knock. It's just he's been a reliever, which may move Boone more into the territory of, as good as he is, I'd move him there because I have more confidence he'll be able to make the adjustment than I do Carlos Rodon or Marcus Stroman. It's a very interesting kind of dilemma that they're in.
Yeah.
Do you go with your best starting pitchers no matter what, or do you go with the guys that you think fit the best, making the adjustment?
I do think that experience doing it matters. Right, even if you are a starter, coming out of the bullpen, it matters. And if you haven't done it, I would be reluctant to just say, all right, come postseason, you're pitching out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Because it's just a different mindset.
So your rotation would be Gerrit Cole, Marcus Stroman, Carlos Rodon, and Luis Gil.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole, Luis
even
Gil,
if
probably Rodon, and then Stroman.
I didn't even mean order, just those four guys. So, which means you are actually going to demote a guy who you think is a better starting pitcher just based on, I have more confidence he can make that adjustment better.
Stroman's never done it.
And Stroman's done it a handful of times, and he has not had success.
Right.
It was a while ago, so I don't want to kill him.
He hasn't done
that.
It successfully.
Right.
Has Rodon? I doubt it.
I'd have to look it up.
Let me
tell
you something right now. Carlos Rodon coming out of the bullpen in a tight spot, no clean, something like that, that would make my head explode.
Yeah, he has 5 appearances out of the bullpen, 2 of them in 2020, and then the other 3 in his rookie
year. Okay, but how was he?
I'd have to look that up.
So
I'll give you the information.
The reason I asked is because he's a power pitcher.
Right.
And so it's kind of what you need sometimes out of the bullpen.
And he's right? a lefty.
Exactly.
And not bad having a big hard throwing lefty coming out of that pen.
If that was all it was about, but kind of like the Daniel Jones conversation, I don't trust the mental makeup of Carlos Rodon to come out of the bullpen.
Carlos,
he melted down with the pitch comp broke.
Yeah, Carlos Rodon, it's tough because he's only done it 5 times in his major league career.
Yeah.
Last in 2020. And it's a small sample size. 2 innings, 1 run. The year before that, 6 1/3 innings, 2 runs. So it looks like he was okay, but I don't even know the context of it. He's rarely done it. Doesn't mean he can do it. Just means he's rarely done it. He doesn't have a track record of it.
Just get me there. Let's go.
No, isn't that exciting, though? Aren't these the fun conversations?
Of course it is. You hear that crowd last night?
Yeah. 40,000 people, too. They had a huge, huge crowd.
And a little teaser for you. We're going to give you that. We're going to do Yankee lineup. Verdugo back to the bench.
Well, let's get that New York Yankee lineup. You know who it's brought to you by? Because I know who it's brought to you by.
Do you know what it's fully brought to you by?
Yeah, it's brought to you by Jersey Mike's, which, by the way, I mean, who doesn't love a Jersey Mike's? It's like my favorite sub sandwich ever. And by Casamigos Tequila. You want to go further
brought
on that?
Brought to those
though?
By those who drink it.
Yankee starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it.
So the Yankees are facing a righty. They're actually facing a righty all weekend long. They're facing Cooper Criswell tonight, but they're facing righties the entire weekend. So any dilemma about the lefty-righty game, it's simplified. Here is your starting lineup. Gleyber Torres leads off at second base. Juan Soto in right field, who rope-a-doped the Royals last night. Aaron Judge in center field, continuing to struggle. Austin Wells. How clutch and good is Austin Wells?
Money.
Sack fly, baby.
We talk so much about awards around here, like the NL MVP. Austin Wells is the AL Rookie of the Year. He is. I think he's won it. Though Luis Gil's making a battle, too. Anyhow, Austin Wells is cleaning up. Giancarlo's the DH. Jazz Chisholm, your guy.
Chisholm!
Hero. And what a performance.
Hero.
Yesterday. Hero makes great defensive plays. Game-winning hit. Jason Dominguez back in the lineup and left, batting 7th. Anthony Rizzo bats 8th at first base, and Anthony Volpe bats 9th and plays shortstop. So after Alex Verdugo got the start yesterday against the lefty, Jason Dominguez is back.
That lineup, and SNY just put it up there, makes me hotter and sweatier than Shannon Sharp in an Instagram Live.
Which has now been admitted to being real.
Yeah. It's a little staged.
Oh, so he did admit it was real.
Yeah, it was not. Hacked.
So we talked about this yesterday. There is an Instagram video of what appears to be Shannon Sharp's voice, you know, having relations with a friend of hers, a friend of his.
Yes.
He says her name. I'm not going to repeat it. But I analyzed the video. I did. I listened to it 100 times. And it does sound like Shannon. Initially, there was a claim that he had gotten hacked.
Yes.
Which is tough to believe because creating an IG video is not easy.
Right. And who
so
would
he's
do
come
that?
Clean?
Yes, he's come clean.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he do that on social media?
I forget the exact quote.
No, it was on the podcast with Ocho Cinco late last night. He admitted it was real, but he did not admit it was staged. He just said, no, I really was.
So how did he get posted?
It was a good quote. Well, that's the other thing. That's why I think there's a little, you know.
So you think he staged it?
I do.
I think he did, too, because I think that we have seen in the past how videos have actually increased the fame of many celebrities. Have we not seen that?
Yeah.
Over the course of history? Now, while some of those videos may not have been staged or released on. What is so funny?
I'll just read the comments from this thing.
Oh, what Shannon said?
Hang up the phone, Big Unk. Oh, blank. She said, please. Oh, damn. This is going to go viral. They both out of breath now. These are all the comments on his
line. The Instagram comments over the video?
This is the comments under the video. Like, hang up the phone. Oh, man. She said, please.
Yeah, that is entertaining.
Oh, this is going viral.
I think that it's going viral makes him more popular. We're talking about it. A lot of people are talking about it. It doesn't make him or her look bad. No one looks bad. So where's the negative to it?
No, and
there's no negative.
And there was a caller to the morning show, and I did a little research to see if this caller was right. Mm. Apparently, and he's obviously nuts, Antonio Brown has been very vocal about making claims about Shannon Sharpe's sexuality, so that maybe Shannon Sharpe did this on purpose so the world could see.
Oh, really?
That, you know, he's getting with women.
So that could have been another reason to put that out there.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think it's just, like, sometimes in life you got to think to yourself, what's the positive, what's the negative? It's before any decision you make. I try to tell my kids, okay, you make that decision, what's the best case scenario, what's the worst case scenario? When you think about a video like that being released, okay, consensual encounter, nothing horrible was said, what's the negative that comes from it?
Unless she didn't know.
That's a negative. I'm going to assume. That's
the only negative.
I'm going to assume if it was staged that she agreed to it. That's what I'm going to assume. Obviously, right. If it was done without her permission, that's a huge negative and it's wrong. It's screwed up. But assuming she's like, yeah, I'm good with this. You're not showing anything. It's just audio. The negative is what? The only positive is, okay, he goes viral and it's a bigger deal and people talk about it. You tell me if there's a negative. You just pointed one out. I don't think that was the case. That's it.
Otherwise, you hear this stuff all the time on the internet anyways.
The tush push.
Not like this, but you hear allusions to this.
Right. But it helps him and his fame. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt him.
Yeah, he's a story.
He's a big, big story.
And I'm sure everyone's listening to his podcast. So, Evan, get busy.
Get busy with what?
Well, you know.
You think I'm releasing audio of me and my wife? Is that what you're implying?
Do you think everybody wants to watch you and Sal call a Met game or hear some sounds on Instagram Live?
Oh, God. Come on. What's wrong with you?
What happened to what's good for the show?
She is also the mother of two beautiful sons. Should I say that about you? When are you and your wife going to release an audio version of your encounters? That's right. He wouldn't be able to do that because I guess he doesn't have it.
Speaking of...
Be the shortest audio you'd ever hear in your life.
Speaking of listening, how many times I'll go first? Over 100. How about you guys?
What?
That you listen to this clip.
I actually have never heard it.
Come on.
I promise you, I haven't heard it yet.
Looking at it like it was the Warren Report. I listened to it about 500 times.
I'm just listening to what he says. I came in, I threw my phone on the bed. This is Shannon now. And engaged in an activity. I did not know IG Live. I never been on IG Live. I never turned on IG Live. So I don't know how it works.
Is that possible with IG Live?
And then he said, his agent ended the IG Live.
His agent got in there and said, all right, we got to end this.
The agent ended the IG Live, and she's the one who said he was hacked.
So her thought
assistant,
was...
Her assistant.
So the thought was, you know what, let me just try to put out the fire immediately and just claim it's hacked. Shannon, obviously, with a day to think about it, says, I'm just going to admit it. Like, it happened. It was a mistake. Right. Now, do you believe that, or do you think it was staged?
I don't know.
It's hard to go Instagram Live.
It is.
I don't know.
I think, considering where he is in his career, which is very successful, I think he thought, this is just going to bring me to another level. And he's not wrong. Because it does bring him to another level. Everybody's talking about it.
But, I mean, people talk about him anyways, almost weekly.
I understand, but it's even...
Because of his Club Shay Shay.
But it's even more. It's even more to talk about.
True.
And listen, if a tape like that is ever going to be leaked, of something so private like that, wouldn't you want it to just be the audio?
It depends on, you know, what you're working with. You might want that out there.
He's very excited about talking about this.
Nobody was happier than Tommy Lee that video got out there back in the 90s.
That's true.
I saw the movie that they made about the Tommy Lee Pam. There's actually a movie about the tape.
Yeah.
Which I watched with actors and all. It didn't seem like he was excited about it.
Tommy Lee, you're saying?
Yeah, it seemed like it was somebody who was being vengeful, who was working on their house. Yeah, I watched the movie. Did you watch the movie?
No, but I've seen the video a million times. They filmed it.
I understand. You saw the video. They didn't film it for everyone else to see. They filmed it in the privacy of their own home. Look, you rolled your eyes.
They were not in their home.
They were on a boat. Yeah.
Okay. Why would somebody do that? They want the old 22 to go back and look?
Hold on a second. You guys heard me wrong. They filmed it to keep in the privacy of their own home.
You've never done that?
No, you think I want to see my flab? Yeah, no way.
Are you saying you've done that?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking why Sean's never done it.
I would probably hate myself. never touch Carvel again.
Are you hypothetically saying that one would do that to scout, like you're a football player, like, oh, I did that wrong, let me do that again? Or are you saying because that's like fun and you guys would watch it together as like
that's
enjoyment?
That's exactly right.
So the second part.
The second part.
So it's not like game tape?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, maybe it is if you care to get that in depth.
The nickel corner slides here.
by the way, and Shannon brought this up, he's not technically savvy. Bill Belichick is on Instagram. Beningo's on Instagram. Can we just make sure that their kids run their accounts? You know, that's all we need is we don't need anything going on here.
You mentioned that happening with Joe.
The cat.
Oh, is he going up, hon?
I guess I would make a request that our guys in the morning, specifically Gio, do a Beningo imitation if that situation occurred. I would like to hear that.
My penis look big.
I know this isn't all request radio, but I'm just saying, like, if there's ever a slow segment, G, I think the world would love to hear that.
I you? Now know if the Jets make the Super Bowl, though. I'm hitting follow on Joe's Instagram account. Right. You never know.
I'd love to hear that hypothetical situation. I will come back with your calls. Plus, there's a football game tonight that is making Jet fans have to make a decision. Do you root for the evil in Buffalo or the evil in South Florida? We'll try to examine, plus talk to you at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Evan and Tiki on The Fan, Thursday Night Football tonight, Miami and Buffalo. I've gone back and forth as a Jet fan on what I prefer to see happen. And I think that my just inner boiling dislike and hatred for the Miami Dolphins wins out in this case.
Who do you hate more? Is this historical hate? Does this go back to childhood hate? Why is it the Miami Dolphins you hate more?
I mean, listen, you want to go childhood hate? I mean, the Dan Marino spike game. Like, I was a young, impressionable child.
It was a clever play.
Okay, it could be as clever as you want. I was a kid learning about football and watching my favorite team. You know, and so I went through a lot of bad memories as a kid. The Dolphins were very good at the time, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I think it started there. It continued as the years went by, getting to know Dolphin fans and how just incredibly obnoxious they mostly are. obviously, some horrible defeats. Sean talked much earlier in the show. If you rewind the Odyssey app to about 2:30, we were talking about the Giants and the Commanders being rivals and the Eagles and the Cowboys and kind of comparing it. And he said there needs to be these horrific moments. Well, I've had a lot of horrific moments against the Miami Dolphins, like being in the building when Chad Pennington defeated Brett Favre to clinch the AFC East. I was there that day. Like, it adds up. So I think when you combine the early memories of the Marino spike game, which is one of my earlier kind of football memories, if you will, with how horrible most Dolphin fans are. Not all. Like, I love Eddie Scazzeri. Mm. Frank the Tank's a good dude. Like, I don't hate every Dolphin fan, but a lot of them, they're unbearable.
I guess because I'm an NFC guy, I don't feel that. Like, and maybe it's because I feel like the Dolphins are kind of cool.
They're not cool. They haven't won a playoff game in two decades.
I'm not saying that. It's not even about success.
Logo is a mammal that swims.
That's why it's cool.
That's why it's kind of cool.
That's not cool.
They have the rare combination of being a historical NFL franchise with like the modern 90s teal and a mammal and Ace Ventura. I love it. And by the way, the fans, I think, are actually one of the best fan bases in the league.
Especially down there.
Yeah. Oh, such good people.
Welcome you in. Come on, come to our tailgate.
Are you guys trolling me?
We're drinking. We're going to be dressed nicely.
Oh, it's the best.
You guys are
just kind of
me?
Amazing.
And the best touchdown song in the league.
This would be like me saying to you guys, you know what? Cowboy fans, man, they're great. Like the Cowboys.
But you know that's not true.
Well, I think you deep down know that this is not true, what you're saying about Dolphin fans.
The Dolphin fans I know are kind of cool.
They're the most delusional fan base in North American sports.
What happened? Somebody wore a Marino jersey to give a wedgie to you, shove you in a locker?
It's
what happened?
Somebody. It's everybody. It's just Dolphin fans are unbearable.
Nicole's white husband is a Dolphin fan.
Who is Nicole's wife?
Snooki's husband. Gianni, he's a Dolphin
fan. Nicole's husband.
He's great. I said white, but then I said husband.
Okay.
Nicole's husband is a Dolphin
fan. What the hell does that mean?
He's cool.
That's one guy. I told you there's Eddie Scazzeri works here. I like Eddie Scazzeri. I'm not saying he isn't cool.
He's cool. He's a Dolphin fan.
That's one. Those are random examples.
That's now two.
Okay, Frank the Tank, great guy.
Frank the Tank.
John Jastrzemski, great guy.
John Jastrzemski's a great guy, but he's delusional like the rest of them.
I'm trying to
think. And I like JJ.
I'm trying to think of a Dolphin fan that I don't like.
Can't find one.
I can. My buddy Phil.
Because you don't.
Phil's a Dolphin fan. I sent him a picture of Zach, what's his name, when he got in the Hall of Fame.
Zach Thomas?
Thomas, when he got in the Hall
of
Fame.
I hate Zach Thomas.
He was great.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
He was fantastic.
I can stand him.
He's a good guy.
And his buddy
he's a Dolphin fan.
And his buddy Jason Taylor, who wasn't the worst Jet in the world, but it made me sick having to see him wear Jet green.
It's his brother or ex-brother-in-law, whatever it is.
Listen, sometimes you say, I'm a Jet fan. Well, I'm going to say this. You're a giant legend. You have no idea now about the Dolphins.
I don't. But I do know that the Dolphin fans that I know, they're good people.
Stop it.
They're not bad.
Salt of the earth.
Salt of the earth.
No, I know what's going on.
Living
here.
In South Florida.
I know what's going
chilling.
On. Chilling. You guys, both of you.
With a mammal on the helmet.
Yeah. You still don't like what I brought up at 4 o'clock, where I implied that I have figured out John Mara wants to hire Bill Belichick. And so now Tiki and Sean have banded together to piss me off.
Oh,
and
stop.
Say, okay.
Everybody forgot it.
Okay, tell me the Dolphin fan that's like,
I'm going to name every person I've interacted with who's a
Dolphin
fan.
Just one personally that you know.
Bob.
Who's Bob?
Does it matter to you?
Yeah. What's his relationship to you?
Christian.
What's his relationship to you?
Rex.
What's his relationship to you?
Juan.
No relationship to you.
He doesn't have any examples.
These are just random people.
We're proving your point. Yeah, you have fake hate.
You have fake hate.
It's not exactly fake hate. Right.
You're making up names of people who you think you hate that are Dolphin fans.
How do you know I was making up names?
Because I could feel there was no feel.
Because my
there's
personal
no familiarity.
Because
in
I'm not going to bring up
sense.
Personal names nobody cares about. I'm
I
just telling
about
you,
them.
I can't stand the Dolphins.
I just brought up three names that I know personally. One's my neighbor. One's a good friend from when our kids were young.
I got it, Teak.
Go ahead.
You got dumped in the past, and she went to a Dolphin fan, didn't she?
I think we got it,
right.
T.
There's something else here.
Yep. You're trying to convince Jet fans.
What are Dolphin fans holding over you?
By the way, they're the Dolphins.
They don't even sell out. They don't have a fan.
Exactly. Hold on.
What are they holding over you?
Excuse me.
Do they show up at MetLife Stadium or the old Giants Stadium and hate on you?
Yes, so they do, number one. And number two, you just said they don't even sell out. Then why did both of you said they have great fans? They don't have great fans.
No, the people that are Dolphin fans are good people.
They're embarrassing fans. They can't even sell out. It seems like there are more Dolphin fans living in New York being obnoxious than even living down in South Florida.
Well, it's hot as hell. And even this weekend's game, it is mid-September. It's going to be 95 degrees and thunderstorms. Would you go?
Well, I would never live in Florida. I think it's disgusting.
That's not what I ask. If it was 95 degrees on September, whatever it is this weekend, 14th, would you go to a football game and sit in thunderstorm, potential thunderstorms?
Okay, so I'll answer the question.
The answer is no.
No, I'm going to prove you wrong.
You would go sit in your backyard with a beer, enjoy the unbelievable weather, sitting in your bikini if you're a female, maybe if you're a male too, and just kind of chilling.
All right, so let me.
And watching it on television.
Let me answer the question since you asked it to me. I am going, no matter what, to Thursday night's Jets-Patriots game. Mm-hmm. I'm going.
That's it.
You could tell. What? Okay, there could be a hurricane. I'm going to the game. It could be 5 degrees. I'm going to the game.
Would
it
you?
Could be 100. Yes. Once I make a commitment to see my. Yes. Really? I've proven it. I went to Jets-Bengals to close out Giants Stadium.
Let's hold him to this, Sean, when it's -3 on December 12th.
Something. With those season tickets. Absolutely.
Right.
I will see the game.
You will not be there.
I promise you. First of all, you're wrong, and I can promise you this. If I don't go to a game...
You've never had to make this decision.
Yeah, of course I have.
No, you haven't. You don't have season tickets to the New York Jets.
I went to Jets-Bengals.
Okay, you went to a Jets-Bengals game.
Yes.
You did not have season tickets.
But I made a decision to buy those tickets and go, and it was -10 that night.
Okay, but that's different.
Why is that different? That's even more impressive.
Because
I actively made the decision to go.
Season tickets are a sunk cost. So the money doesn't matter. Like, what you spent on it doesn't matter. You've already spent it.
But isn't that more of a reason why what I did to close down Giants Stadium shows you that I will go?
You were closing down Giants Stadium. You were looking for nostalgia.
I didn't give a rat's ass about closing Giants Stadium.
In a meaningless December game.
That's not true.
And it's -3, you're not going to be there.
Well, first of all, I may not go in a meaningless December game.
I believe I'll believe you until you prove us wrong.
Well, I did prove it wrong. I went to Jets Bengals when they closed down Giants Stadium.
That was before you had season tickets.
But that's even more impressive. I went out and actively bought the tickets, even after the weather was bad, to say, this game is important. I need to see my team. Why wouldn't that impress you even more?
The imperative thing that you're saying, or important thing you're saying, is an important game. I'm saying a non-important game in December, and it's 3 degrees. Are you going?
Exactly. Well, hold on. You twisted this so badly.
That's why I'm good.
I go to a lot of Met games.
So you debate
if they
me.
Are playing. No, because you
debate me, presidential candidate.
Well, first of all, you debated very well, okay? I'm not demeaning your debate skills. What I'm saying is there was no one there to fact check you. Because you twisted the argument. You just said...
That's what a good debater does.
I know, but it's frustrating. How did this become a meaningless December game? You started by saying 95 degrees in September to go to a Dolphin game.
Yes,
that's
it
not
is.
Meaningless.
I know
the second
it's not
game
meaningless.
Or third game of the year is meaningless.
But I'm just telling you why they don't go. Because it's a hike.
No, but you turned it into
Hard Rock Stadium is in the middle of nowhere.
I know where it is.
It's a hike.
But why did you turn it into a meaningless game? It's not a meaningless game. They haven't played meaningless games the last couple of years.
It's week
so that's
two.
BS.
It's week two.
How's that meaningless?
I you don't think it's going to be sold out?
I don't know. With their fans? Probably not.
And if it's not, I can tell you why. Because it's 95 degrees and it's going to thunderstorm.
Oh, stop it.
Have you lived in Florida ever?
First of all, are we referring to tonight's game? Because I guarantee if it is sold out, there'll be 10,000 Bills Mafia fans that completed the sellout.
Mm.
So if you want to go down the road, I'll tell you, yeah, if they sell out, it's usually the other fans showing up. But my only point to you is I hate the Dolphins, and you guys are arguing with me like I'm saying something incorrect. That's my own emotions.
It's just good people. I just don't like
I'm allowed to hate
people.
The Dolphins.
Yeah. Okay, you're allowed.
They're not all good people.
They're good people. That's bad of you.
There's good people on both sides. That doesn't
you're
mean
just
that.
It's terrible, man.
good people. Speaking of good people.
I can't stand you right now. You specifically. Tiki just worked me into like pretzels.
Uh-oh.
We have another layer to the Daniel Jones saga. Daniel Jones has had a premier player in the league reach out to him, and he spoke to the media about it. Do you want to know who?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Saquon Barkley.
Wow.
Saquon Barkley has reached out to Daniel Jones. This is what he told the Eagle media.
Over there, I mean, I was there for 6 years. I got a lot of friends there, so no bad friends for those guys. Hopefully, one day we'll bounce back.
Have you reached out to Daniel Jones? I know it's been a rough week for him.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him. I'm really good friends with DJ. Obviously, he had the game that he won. For me, it was just letting him know that you go out there and play free and do what you do best.
So, honestly,
yeah, it's hard to hear it, but he reached out. He said he reached out to him.
He reached out. He said he's still friends with Daniel. He reached out and he told him he's got to go out there and play free. Now, he's a rival player telling a team in his division's quarterback, go out there and play free.
Well, they're not playing the Eagles this weekend.
But still, if you're the Eagles, don't you want the Giants to lose every game?
Nah, because they're not a threat. Yeah.
I respect that from Saquon.
I think he looks at the Giants as a non-threat.
Is that why?
Do you think he makes that phone? I know he's not a former Cowboys, so it doesn't work that way. Right. But do you think he makes that phone call to Dak Prescott?
No chance.
Even if they were teammates?
Yeah.
I think the Giants are so not a threat to Saquon and the Eagles that it's like, yeah, I can make the call. No big deal.
So you take it as a slight.
I do. In fact, that's not the only thing I took as a slight. So pull this audio up, and it's a lot clearer, actually.
You know what?
I'm just kidding. Second. No, that was great breaking news stuff. There's a lot being made of something Nick Bosa said. Nick Bosa made a comment about the Jets in talking about the upcoming matchup with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
And so here's the audio, and you guys can all decide if you take this as a shot at the Jets. I actually didn't. As much as people thought Nick Bosa and what he said was a shot at the New York Jets, you guys got it all backwards. It was not a shot at the New York Jets. It was a shot at somebody else.
This week, I think we're playing a better honestly, a better team. That's they're playing better football, it looks like, and they run the ball well, and we're going to have to be better in our techniques. We kind of got away with some things last week. So we have to hone in and not pat ourselves on the back.
So that was construed as the Vikings are better than the Jets. And you can hear Nick Bosa quickly said, playing better. And what he means by that is that the New York Giants was so pathetic against the Minnesota Vikings that Nick Bosa is right. The Vikings are playing better.
Right.
Because they just dominated the New York football Giants. So when I heard that comment, a lot of people, including Sean, took it as, oh man, Nick Bosa, he just told the Jets off. And I'm like, he actually insulted the Giants.
He did both. And you're hiding from it. I had to deal with this, Evan. Unfortunately, Giant fans have had to deal with it. We saw Ivan Pace take shots at Daniel Jones in the offense last week. We've seen it last year. When players around the league start talking about what they're seeing about a team, take note, because it means they know what they're talking about. Tiki got crushed by some for saying that Jet fans were lazy in their analysis of the roster. And here you have an opponent who watched the same film telling you, no, the Vikings are better. So I don't believe that.
He didn't say that.
So you're playing better.
Playing better.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, yeah, they were playing better. The Jets played like crap on Monday night.
Well, I think that he took the opponent into account, too.
And so the Vikings played really, really, really well against a Giant team that was, as you know, I mean, we don't have to make this up. Look, you did a great podcast about it. They played awful on both sides of the ball, even if we're spending more time on Daniel Jones. So what Nick Bosa did, and I respect it. I actually have no issue with Nick Bosa.
Right.
Is he described, the Vikings are playing better. Yeah, they just played the Giants.
He just told you that he thinks Sam Darnold's playing better than Aaron Rodgers. do you want positive Met news?
So do you want, I want a second. I just want to know, are you sticking with your 16-1 Jets prediction?
I have to. I don't abort ship. I told Jet fans, don't make any vacation plans for January. You follow me. I'll lead you.
Because for a guy, Tiki, that went out of his way to say they're going 16-1, he spends a lot of time taking shots at them.
Complete
because I'm
job.
Upset. No, I'm upset. If I put my money behind some and I tell the Jet fans I'm going to lead you.
You did not put a dime behind that.
Well, that's neither here nor there. I expect, greatness.